It's the Brouhaha Podcast.
It's time for the Drive Brouhaha with our co-host, international beer and food judge, Herlinda Harris. Herlinda.
Cheers.
Brouhaha is brought to you by the Russian River Brewing Company, Home Run Pizza, home of the knuckleball, and Victory House at Poppy Bank Epicenter. We've got a couple of guests on the Brouhaha today, including Tara Nuren. Tara is a freelance journalist, educator, broadcast professional, and author of A Woman's Place is in the Brew House. Joining us now for a conversation is Kevin McGee. He is the president of the Anderson Valley Brewing Company. Kevin, welcome to the Brouhaha.
Thanks. It's great to be back.
Tara and I are going to the Boonville Beer Fest this weekend, this Saturday. May the 4th be with you is the theme.
And also with you.
Yeah. Before we get into the festival, Tara, and you know, we were talking out in the green room about you're an owner of a pretty decent-sized, great beer company. What kind of things are you doing for your employees, or are you doing anything for wellness or mental wellness?
Wellness and mental health, it is something that's very important to us. In particular, like just listening to Tara talk, it's super topical these days. I mean, the last couple of years have been a total roller coaster. They've been really difficult to sort of forecast and predict, and that amount of uncertainty just puts a lot of friction into everybody's thought process. And so everybody, you know, from the top on down is really kind of been feeling it these last couple of years. And for us, when we came in, we took a look at our benefits and we improved our benefits from what had been offered. And one of the things we made sure that they had was a pretty effective and comprehensive suite of mental health resources and other things that you could access through being, basically being a member of the benefits program. So that was key, it's something where, you know, with mental health, it's important sort of as, you know, management and ownership that you respect people's privacy while also making sure that people are aware that these resources are there. So there's kind of a line to walk there, but we have pretty well-defined pathways for people to talk to, you know, different people, to ask different questions, get some help. And I mean, none of us at the brewery are professional mental health, therapists or anything like that. And so it's always best to talk to a pro. Short of that, we do a lot of just directing people to the kind of things that they do have available to them. And like I said, it's pretty comprehensive. You can find in the programs that we offer almost anything that you should need.
What kind of things would that be, actually? I mean,
It can be anything from just sort of general, finding a therapist just to talk about different issues. It doesn't have to be work-related. There's other things that are in, you know, our handbook and our process about, you know, how to, you know, report either, you know, bad behavior or anything. There's alternative pathways in case the person that you should be reporting to is the person that's causing the problem.
That's big.
And all of these things are kind of have to be laid out and thought about ahead of time. Otherwise, they're just not effective. And then, you know, then you're not helping.
Well, and so many brewery owners, you know, don't even think about handbooks, right? I mean, They're just individuals starting a small company. And, all of this HR stuff falls on somebody who's, I don't know, doing everything else, has no training in it at all. But handbooks and policies and such protect the company as well, right? They lay out exactly what the paths are, what the expectations are for everybody, and, you know, really help keep owners from getting sued.
Yeah, that's part of it. I mean, a big part of it, I think, is really just to have some communication between, you know, the senior management, middle management, and then, you know, sort of like line employees, so that people can, you know what to expect, and also so that there's a level of respect between the people that are working there, where, you know, it's important to acknowledge that, you know, everyone has a different voice, and, you know, how they're doing and how they're engaging both inside and outside of work, is something that's important to everybody else. We do spend so much time with each other at work that, you know, not acknowledging the interactions that happen there is just such a mistake. And again, it doesn't have to be anything that's happening like at work. I mean, people have, you know, their own challenges. I mean, everyone's fighting a battle that no one else sees. And, you know, that doesn't change just because you happen to be, you know, in a different building. I mean, if you come into work and you have, you know, some other things that, you know, are, you know, preventing you from interacting the way you need to, or, you know, doing what you need to do, or kind of, you know, being all that you can be, and that's a detriment to everybody. And, you know, the idea behind doing this was really kind of, you know, an acknowledgement that when, you know, us as, you know, an employer, you know, work towards kind of helping people, you know, become better and grow and develop their careers and develop the way that they, you know, they're working and everything, that everyone benefits. And, you know, the employees, you know, end up, you know, benefiting by, you know, development, you know, of their employment into, you know, new and different things perhaps. The business benefits because they get better quality employees. And also it increases retention too. I mean, we hire people that we want to hang out with for a long time. And, you know, that's kind of the main criteria for, you know, our hiring decisions is, you know, is this someone who's going to be with us for a long time? We're a family-owned company. I mean, we're looking at this as a long-term thing, and that's, you know, part of the perspective that got us there. But, you know, employee retention, as you mentioned, is critical, and it's not just critical for, you know, business operations reasons. It's critical for being a good human and the people that you spend time with, you know, day to day. It's like I said, you spend so much time in these, you know, in work situations with these people. A lot of people that, you know, are, you know, working full time or spending more time with their coworkers than they might with their families. It's important to respect that and acknowledge it.
All right, a very important topic of conversation, and I appreciate us having it, but I'm going to pull the host card and say, let's talk beer.
Yeah. Yeah, so, what are we drinking right now? I'm really enjoying this.
Right now, we're drinking the Black Light. So the Black Light is a beer that we launched in January. This thing is an awesome, awesome beverage. It's a light beer that tastes like a full-flavored craft beer. It's 95 calories. It's 7 carbs. It's actually considered low
carb.
It's
pitch black if you could see this on radio.
You'd
never
guess
it was a light beer.
Yeah, it looks like a stout, absolutely. Yeah. When you handed it to me, I thought, oh, man, are we going to the stout already? And it's actually a light.
It is a light beer that it tastes awesome. It's already won a couple of awards. It won the European Beer Star Award.
Wow.
It got a silver, I think, 2 years ago. And then this past year, it won at the Brussels Beer Challenge, which I happened to just sort of stumble upon the presentation when I was at the Craft Brewers Conference.
At World Beer
recently.
Cup in Vegas. Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, we love this beer. This beer's fantastic. And it's also one of those things that it's like you have innovation in craft beer that for years has been, you know, throwing like a cheesecake in the, you know, kettle and trying to see what sort of flavors you get. I mean, we kind of think
I kind of like that idea, quite frankly.
I was going to say that doesn't sound bad to me.
We're trying to do something kind of a little different and sort of break a little bit more of the innovation pathways in doing things like this. Like, we didn't really see, you know, any kind of like really well-made craft light beers out there. And this actually didn't start with the intention of being a light beer. We made it to taste good. It turned out that way. And so we're really kind of...
What a concept, making something to taste good.
Totally.
I'm flabbergasted.
Beer-flavored beer, man.
Is it black rice in it, or what's making it?
There is
black rice. That's what's making it dark, not doing dark malts.
Right, that's correct. It doesn't really have dark malts. It's got the forbidden rice, black rice. So there's like, there's this cool sort of richness and almost umami character. And we've presented this to a couple chefs, and when we point out, you know, that there is that sort of that umami character, all of a sudden they start thinking about pairings, and it's awesome with sushi in particular. But it really is a great, you know, it's a great culinary beer. It's a great
Thai
just
food,
sipping beverage. It's great for
you. Mentioned the caloric content, but you didn't mention the ABV. I don't think
3.8
light.
Yeah, so it's light all the way around. So light in calories, light in, but definitely not light in flavor. This is really delicious. And Tara actually had a forbidden rice dish at Rivers End the other night.
I was just thinking
and I was
just
that. Thinking about that.
Yeah. It was delicious, very buttery, and held up for breakfast for 2 days following dinner.
Before we enjoyed the Black Light, you treated us to the Pilsner.
We had the Pilsner. And both of these are kind of come from the these are brainchildren of Fal. Fal made the Pilsner and convinced me to make the Pilsner kind of, you know, he was like, I want to make a lager. I want to make a Pilsner. I'm like, why do you want to do that? They're a pain. They're like really temperamental and stuff. And then he made it for the tap room and I tasted it and I'm like, oh, I understand now. So we put it into full production and launched that last year. And that's been going great for us. It's a delicious, really classic Bavarian style Pilsner, super clean.
And you brought something that reminds me very much of a Boonville summer camping festival. Well, we're not in summer yet, but you have the solstice,
yeah,
too.
I brought the rainbow today. I did bring the summer solstice. Summer solstice has been around for a long time. It's a very traditional kind of it's almost an event when we bring it out and people come look for it. We had one person drive from, I think it was Utah, to fill their car with it one year and like take back, you know, dozens of cases and stuff. And so it's got this awesome, great following. And it is a hallmark of spring when we start making that and start shipping it out. Summer solstice is here.
And the can says Zero Impact Brewing. So Tara and I are going to get – I haven't seen Anderson Valley Brewing physically since you took it over. I know there's been all kinds of innovation going on. And I mean, solar, and tell us what the Zero Impact Brewing is.
Well, the sustainability practices at Anderson, I mean, the really big ones, frankly, predate me by decades. I mean, the sustainability that's happened at Anderson is really astounding. It's one of the reasons that my family and I were very interested in the brewery. And we are the world's first solar-powered brewery. The solar array was installed in 2005. And then shortly after that, or actually... well before that, the water treatment system was installed. And so the water treatment system at the brewery has been in place since the mid-90s. And the brewery sources all of its water from wells that are located on the property, has its own treatment system. We're practically our own water district. And then we discharge it back on the property too. So unless it leaves as an ingredient in the beer, we're returning all of our water back to the property we take it from. And that's like, I mean, we're a zero effluent manufacturing facility and have been doing that since, I think, 1996.
Wow.
So, I mean, and it's just an incredible accomplishment. And, you know, we hadn't been loud about it enough. And so we started talking about it more recently.
Boonville Festival, though.
Boonville Beer Fest.
What can people expect at the festival? Are there tickets still available? Are Tara and I going to be able to put our tents up? And if we can't, what do we do? I'm going to sleep in my car.
Do you have a spare room is what she's actually asking.
I'm going to be sleeping in my office, actually.
We'll sleep in the tanks.
Boonville Beer Fest happening on May the 4th. And my family are total Star Wars nerds. And so the idea of doing it on May the 4th was just kind of a dream come true. We've got probably close to about 3,000 people coming. We've got about 70 breweries. It's happening on Saturday from 1 to 5. Tickets are still available. You can link to it by going to the avbc.com website.
Which is, of course, Anderson Valley Brewing Company.
Exactly. And there's a link for Beer Fest at the top, or it's through Eventbrite. So you can just search for it there.
It's a benefit also. It's not like just benefiting the brewery. It's a benefit for the whole.
All proceeds go to local charities, and actually the charities that it benefits are all within probably about 10 miles of the brewery. This is the 26th one. We took 2 years off during COVID, since its inception, we've raised close to $1.8 million for local charities, and all of it goes to local folks there. So it's been an institution, and it's a fantastic experience for both the brewers and for people to come in, and that's why I think it's been so much fun is that the brewers come and they camp out and everything too. And so there's a lot of campfire talk and people talking and complaining about yeast strains and other nerdy brewer things. And it's just a big bonding kind of thing for the industry, which is nice.
And according to the website, you have 1 day, 6 hours, 9 minutes and 58 seconds to get your tickets.
That's right. Plenty of time.
Yeah.
What time does it start?
It starts, I think, at 1 o'clock and goes to 5.
Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off. But this seems like a biggie because I was looking on Facebook and something either we had posted about the fact that we're going or maybe the brewery posted something. And, you know, boldface name brewers from around the country were like, oh, I'm so sorry to miss that this year. Megan Parisi, I think Mitch Steele from formerly of Stone and now New Realm. They were like, I love that festival. I wish we could go.
It's got such history. Like I said, I mean, this is the 26th one. And so it was happening like in the early aughts and like in the early teens as everything was blowing up. And like I said, the brewers would camp out there. So as craft beer was becoming what we know of as craft beer, now, during that time, all of these kind of like, you know, named people that we know would be at the brewery and spending the weekend and camping and sitting around fires and
or
sharing information and knowledge.
Like
and,
Tom Daldorf or with
singing.
Rolling Boyle.
Or yeah, exactly. we have the Firkin Tappers coming too, actually. So they're the alumni of the Humboldt University Marching Band. And so they come every year. And there's groups of people that use it as a reason to, you know, have a reunion basically every year. So, you know, people come in from all over the, I think we mapped them. And I mean, there was a bunch of international travel. People come in from all over the world. We draw mostly from, obviously, Northern California, but it's not, you'd be surprised at the percentage of people that travel significant distances to get there.
Dogs, kids, rules.
Unfortunately, no dogs, and unfortunately, no kids.
21 and over only. That's
exactly
food
right.
There?
There is food there. We've got vendors. We've got some local vendors with crafts and wearables and other things like that.
You've got Slam Dunk Pizza. You've got Spiro's Giro's. You've got Dutch Girl Desserts, Reggae Rasta, Curry Express, The Alley Grill, and more.
Totally.
And live music.
And live music. We've got two stages. We've got bands going all day.
Including Hella Mendocino,
yep.
The Deadlies, Blue Luke, and the Buckridge Racket Club.
Yep,
I'm not familiar with them.
They're a lot of fun. And we try and, another thing about it is we try and do everything we can to support local music, too. So all the bands that we have, we're walking the walk in terms of supporting our local musicians.
And lots of breweries.
Lots of breweries. Most of the breweries that you know of in these areas. We also try and support our local brewers, especially smaller ones. Like if we'll read about, you know, an opening of a brewery in the area or something like that, we'll make an effort to reach out and say, hey, you have an interest in coming to the beer fest.
And cider too. You've got, like, I'm sure you've got Gowan cider right there.
We do. We've got Gowan. We've also got Humboldt, who are fantastic.
Oh, fantastic.
And great people too. They were one of my favorite tastes last year.
I'd go over the list, but it's really, really long.
70. Yeah. That'll take us a while.
Yeah.
Many names I recognize, old friends at Hen House and Old Kaz and of course Bear Republic. And then a few that I don't recognize. Who are the Mad Fritz Brewing Company?
Mad Fritz.
They're out of Napa.
Been there, yeah.
And they've been making some waves for the last couple of years, too. They do a lot of fun stuff. And I should point out that Natalie has told me that Russian River will never miss a Boonville beer.
Nice. Oh,
so they're there also.
Good. Any tips? What should people bring? What should they not bring besides children and dogs? Like, what should they, like, don't do the, like, rompers and the sundresses and the heels and things.
Probably not heels. the forecast is for rain earlier in the day. We are rain or shine. And it's rained there before, and I'm told that it's one of the more memorable experiences to go to Beer Fest
hey,
in the rain.
Hey, Woodstock.
Star Wars costumes are encouraged. I've seen Mandalorians with antlers show up on Instagram preparing for the day. But for the most part, you know, it's a beer festival. Bring your sense of adventure, taste some stuff that you haven't had before, go look for some breweries that you haven't been able to find on the shelves. It's a super, you know, kind and welcoming kind of environment. It is in the middle of Anderson Valley, and we're kind of like that there. Yeah, just be aware that people look forward to it for a very long period of time, and they get psyched. So there's a lot of energy around it, and the camping is its own human safari. So there'll be people to help put up tents, and also there'll be people to find alternatives if the tents don't work. So
your office.
Yeah, my office exactly. I'll open up Fal's office. You guys can stay there.
Oh, there you go.
Okay,
I think he'll be okay with that. Yeah, we're bringing tents. I'm bringing waterproof sneakers, and
yep.
I wasn't really planning on bringing umbrellas and stuff like that, but I might just in
maybe
case.
Like I think it's the forecast that I've seen seemed to taper off like around noon.
Ah.
So it might drizzle a little bit, but should kind of clear up. But there's plenty of beer to taste.
It is
stuff,
a
so
beautiful drive. do not try to drive home after going to this festival. I beg you.
Be responsible,
yes,
folks.
It is a very, it's a bit of a windy drive, but it is absolutely gorgeous. Go ahead and you can do the whole weekend there. There's some great wineries like Hush and Navarro.
Oh, and another fun thing I should mention. So there is a local 5K that got started up again. It was going on for a long time. And it's happening the day after, and we're sort of challenging people to do the Hangover 5K. It's started by this young man. He's still in high school, who is taking it on for his family who started it before. So he brought it back last year, and it raises funds for also local charities, among them the skate park project. So sign up for that also. We're gonna have signs and things like that up there.
So Tara, you want to do the run?
No.
A 5K crawl, maybe.
We will be crawling.
A 5K run, not so sure.
You know, just participating is worth it.
So. There you go.
We can walk.
I'll hand out beer at the end.
Tomato beer and Bloody Marys.
Oh, my God.
She's still thinking about the tomato beer.
Yep.
We can make our own.
I hope you locked it up before you left the house.
I actually did hide it.
There you go.
I had this feeling.
Did you? I knew it. It was like in the back of the garage fridge. Yep.
Tara Nuren, where do you go from here?
Where do I go from here? Well, I haven't been able to think past the Anderson Valley.
We did so much this past couple of weeks between the museum and Davis.
We did. I mean, I'm going home Monday. I'm going to try to get into the city at some point, I don't know when, to see Pete Slosberg from Pete's Wicked. He's a good friend. I might have to ask him if he can meet me in the airport for breakfast. And then I go home back to the Philly area to really focus on some career strategizing for – I actually did some burnout recovery. I was going to take about a year to decenter work, and it ended up taking 2 years. But I'm back. I'm ready to work again. And so home in the Philly area, unless I get any fabulous invitations to come back.
And the best website for people to go to check out you and your stuff?
It's taranuren.com.
Pretty easy. Kevin McGee, what's next for Anderson Valley after the festival?
The festival, we've got any number of different things going on. So we've been launching the Black Light. We've got another thing going on with our sister brewery, Heelsburg Beer Company. So Heelsburg Beer Company is a brewery that I started in my garage in 2007 while I was doing wine stuff, and would make beer 30 gallons at a time, and I would deliver it to places that I like to drink, a couple kegs at a time using a skateboard in the front seat of my Subaru. And then once my family bought Anderson, we got to use the Big Kid Toys out in Boonville, so we got to make it in larger than 30-gallon things. So one of the fun beers that we have that we just launched is called the Belgian Pale. We're going to be pouring it at the Beer Fest, so come and find it if you can. Belgian Pale is the beer that we used to make for the Thomas Keller Group at French Laundry and Per Se and Bouchon and Ad Hoc. We stopped making it during COVID, and I just kind of really, really liked it. And so we needed to find a way to keep making it, if for no other reason than to get me access to it. And so we launched it as sort of the fourth Heelsburg beer. And so that's one that we're supporting, as we kind of go out. And that's a big initiative, getting Heelsburg and the Belgian Pale kind of out there. And so,
nice.
But we just Perlinda just cracked open the Robust Porter from Heelsburg. And this is actually literally my favorite beer of all the beers that we make.
Nice.
Well, Tara and Harry and I are all big fans of nice, like, rich porters and things. I also like your pumpkin ale, too. Tara and I like pumpkin ales. And there was also – what was the really delicious – there was like almost a dessert-y kind of one you brought last time.
Oh, probably the salted caramel porter.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah. That was good, too.
That one's kind of nutty. Yeah, the Fall Hornin is actually back. We stopped doing it. I mean, we get feedback from distributors saying, there's too many seasonals, and I'm glad I got it. It's like, okay, well, we'll cut our seasonals down. And then the next year, they're like, where's your fall seasonal? So we bring it back on a limited basis. And so we brought it back last year, and we had not enough of it. So we're doing it again this year, and that'll be a lot of fun. That's the Fall Hornin.
All right, Tara Nuren, Kevin McGee, thank you so much for joining us for the drive. Brouhaha.
Thanks.
Again, taranuren.com and VBC.com.
That's us.
I had to think about that one. Herlinda, what's up next week on the Brouhaha?
Oh, next week I have the Grayton Casino has their new cocktail program out by the pool, and they actually have stolen away, I won't tell where, from some celebrity chefs and bartenders that so they're doing some different cocktails and things, so we're gonna have them in. We're gonna talk about like hanging out by the pool. They've got the cabanas and all those kinds of things there. They have the concerts, their summer series that's going to be happening as well, so we're going to have them in and talking about that. That's I'm actually really looking forward to that because I do like cocktails a lot too. Beer is great, but a cocktail by the pool is hard to beat.
But this is the Brouhaha.
Hey, everything, even whiskey, has to be beer first, right?
Yeah, that's true. Beer cocktails are a thing, too.
Yep.
All right. Again, that's it for today's Brouhaha. Herlinda will be back next week. A reminder that this Brouhaha and all the previous Brouhahas are available in the podcast form. You can visit us at brouhaharadio.com or go to your favorite podcast source to subscribe to the podcast. Never miss an episode or just listen to one again. Tara Noorin, Kevin McGee, again, thanks for joining us on the Brouhaha. Herlinda, we will see you soon.
See me next week. Cheers.